Yeah, but do they know we're coming?
Don't think so.
As the Bob moved steadily toward the bill, more details were coming into focus, but the balloon was making him queasy with its crazy motions. JB's guts felt watery and cold.
There are some sec men moving along a defensive wall, but they're smoking cigs, and one guy's taking a leak in the river. Damn, this feels way too quiet. I'd say they have no idea we're coming.
Good. Maybe we can sail by and they never know it.
We're going to be dangerously low as we pass. Maybe we should drop another bag. Only six left. Best we save them for emergencies.
As the vill swelled closer, JB tucked away the telescope. Now they could see the lit windows of brick houses, cooking fires scattered about on the ground, and sputtering torches moving along the concrete streets.
Backpacks on the flooring.
Ryan slid his off and stepped onto the canvas bag. The companions copied his action, but withheld shooting at the small figures of the sec men, knowing they were out of range. In graceful majesty, the Bob Marley silently floated over the vill's wall, and a sec man screamed loud enough to be heard by the companions.
Holy shit!
Calmly, they watched as the guards frantically dashed about, waving their arms, and several dove into the river to escape from the horrifying sky machine. Then, a cannon roared. It threw a smoke ring across the vill square, and a bonfire grew bright and strong to cast harsh light across the vill.
Get ready, people.
Ryan tucked away the Sig Sauer and drew his Steyr sniper rifle. Suddenly, a flight of arrows shot up from the vill to arc across the dark sky and impotently fall away, completely unable to reach the balloon.
Thank God these people have never heard of the longbow.
Directly above the settlement, they could see gardens planted on every rooftop and a row of corpses hanging from nooses thrown over the side of the wall. Then a gasoline engine sputtered softly into action, and an electric light stabbed onto the shoreline, then angled upward to sweep across the sky. Before the beam reached them, Ryan worked the bolt on the Steyr SSG-70 and fired a shot. The searchlight shattered into darkness, and a wild barrage of blasters banged away from every roof in the bridge-top vill, the mini-balls humming past the Bob Marley by the dozens. The companions returned fire, and sec men fell from the walls. But more took their place, and tiny puffs of smoke from the vill announced further incoming rounds. Then, a backpack on the floor jerked from an unlikely hit.
Fuck that!
Ryan's shots had two guards dropping their blasters and clutching red bellies. Another grabbed a limp arm, and a fourth toppled over the bamboo wall, falling onto the hard city streets. Without warning, the Bob Marley was past the wall and over the river once more, the dim lights of the vill fading into the distance. As the companions checked the vessel for damage, the balloon built speed, heading down the waterway straight toward the thundering falls only 100 feet distant. A huge cloud of mist rose from the torrent flowing over the jagged cliff, effectively hiding whatever was beyond.
Anybody hurt? Only an MRE. Spaghetti, I'd say.
Scorch. Don't talk about food.
As the craft entered the cool spray, the Bob Marley lost height and was seized by a cross current, abruptly changing direction to race directly for the southern shore, a solid line of tall trees looming ahead.
The branches!
Ryan already had his belt knife in hand and cut away a weighted bag, just as Dean did the same on the other side of the rope basket. Instantly, the improvised aircraft flew higher and missed the row of trees by less than a yard. A flight of birds exploded from the branches at their passing.
Holy shit!
Maybe this wasn't such a good idea after all. Don't be silly, Mildred. Only an hour in the air and we've nearly been aced a dozen times.
And how many more times if we've been rowing in that damned PT-infested ocean?
Leaving the waterfall in its wake, the Bob Marley caught the western winds again and sailed away, free and safe. Looking behind, Ryan could see the trees along the edge of the cliff mixed with the waterfall's misty cloud to perfectly hide the vill from any passing vessel. The stone layer of the ridge was only a couple yards high, no more than 3 or 4, and the sides sloped gently to a sandy beach. Jutting into the ocean waves, smooth spurs of volcanic rock formed natural docks for fishing boats and visiting ships. Slinging the Steyr over his shoulder, Ryan approved.
Mighty good location. Under the right hands, this place could be quite a formidable settlement.
Too bad it's probably under the control of some spineless futz brain loyal to that Kinnison guy.
Who'd ever want to submit to that bastard?
Have at thee, stout hearts, and let loose the dogs of war.
The companions looked in the same direction and saw that moored to the stony jetties were several of the Lord Baron's PT boats, the decks full of men staring in fright at the balloon passing overhead. Several raised their blasters, but none fired, some of the navvies taking refuge behind the pod of firebirds, the engine's smokestack, or the big 50-caliber machine gun.
They're no danger. Too damn scared of us to try anything.
The two groups stared hard at each other as the Bob moved over the open sea. Beyond the cooling influence of the falls, the airship steadily rose and built speed once more. Soon the Petys were left behind, far beyond blaster range. Majestically, the balloon continued along the ragged coastline, following a volcanic peninsula of broken lava spurs that formed the eastern boundary of the large harbor. To the west was a vague palisade of forest and boulders, forming a barrier to blunt the crushing waves and killer winds of tropical storms. Yanking off his hat, J.B. stuffed the beloved fedora into his jacket, then did the same with his glasses.
Hot pipe, I like flying. Makes my stomach feel like I'm steadily falling. Kinda tickles.
Christie smiled at the boy. There was still a lot of child left in the young warrior. Hopefully, that part of him would never die. She loved Ryan with all her heart, but the man had dark places buried deep inside that she'd never reach. Ryan was a steel blade, forged in emotional fires that would have melted most men. He survived, but would forever carry the scars of his own brutal creation.
I say, John Barrymore, are you quite all right? You seem rather pale.
Catch round?
Worse. Dark night. What the hell's wrong with me? Red poisoning?
Nonsense. You're not dying, John. It's just air sickness. The adrenaline rush of battle must have held it off until you relaxed. This happens to a lot of people.
Not me. Hey, look over there. It's a whale.
Oh, shut up, Dean.
Done yet?
Oh, the hell knows.
Here, try this.
JB took the canteen and drank a healthy swig of its contents. The armorer waited nervously to see if his churning stomach would keep the fluid, then greedily drank some more.
Yeah, better. What was that?
Some of my jump juice. I figured that if it helps with the nausea we get taking a jump in a Mattrans chamber, it should work for air sickness too, did it?
Some. Yeah, it did. Thanks, Millie.
Anytime, John.
Mildred smiled, closing the straps on her med kit. This mix promised to be her best batch yet. Boiled tobacco leaves, menthol cough drops, honey, mint leaves, and whiskey. Maybe she had finally found the right combination to keep them from puking out their guts after a bad jump. Some were easy as a nap in bed, but others were pure hell, with nightmares and physical sickness.
We've attracted attention.
Large birds with tremendous wingspans were starting to circle the cluster of balloons. The shadows of the clouds blocking the moon disguised their features until one flew close, and Ryan saw it was a condor. Exactly the same as the giant muties that attacked them on Spider Island. Doc said they were normally that size, but Ryan didn't believe it. The triple damn things were too fast and strong.
Here they come!
But instead of heading for the companions, the condor flock dove straight for the cluster of weather balloons, clawing and pecking at them. The resilient plastic netting resisted their attacks, and the balloons themselves, designed to survive the worst tropical weather, proved too tough. Defending their territory, the enraged flock now circled the cluster of balloons, screaming a challenge. A small condor dove straight through the rope, its talons extended to rip apart the soft human flesh. The companions opened fire in unison. The lead barrage blew holes through the wings and forced it back. Only wounded, the muti charged again, while another appeared, walking along the ropes with its claws, and dropped into the rope basket. As the first dove into the ropes, the bird caught a wingtip in the complex rigging. With a gesture, a knife slid from Jack's sleeve into his waiting hand, and he stabbed upward, slid open its belly, then blew off its head with a .357 Magnum blaster. Caught reloading his gun, Doc slapped the second bird with his weapon's long barrel, shattering its hard beak. Then, while the creature was momentarily stunned, he tossed it overboard. Leaving a contrail of blood, the condor struggled to spread its wings and catch the wind, but the bird plummeted straight down onto the sharp rock spur.